A godly family makes the difference. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Light.
Hello, this is Mike Keller. You are now listening to Key Light, where the Bible becomes relevant to your daily life. If you have a Bible, get it. And here is our teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to Jeremiah 1. As we're looking at, we're doing an analytical, biographical sketch of the prophet Jeremiah. And you said, well, I already know about him. You've been talking about him for a long time. Yeah, but we're going into some details right now. By the way, I sure would appreciate your prayers tomorrow. I'm going, tomorrow through Friday, I'm going to be speaking for Winsome Women Retreat. Winsome Women Retreat at Mackinac Island in Michigan. And I get to stay at the Grand Hotel. So, but pray for me anyway. I mean, I've done that before and enjoyed the time. Hundreds and hundreds of women come there, and it's a kind of delightful time to teach. But I sure would appreciate your prayers if you think of it. All right, we're looking at Jeremiah 1. And we're looking, as I said, an analytical, biographical sketch of the prophet Jeremiah. We saw yesterday that Jeremiah was grounded in the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, and he was trained in the Torah. We saw yesterday that his father Hilkiah was the high priest who found the books of Moses, Torah, in the temple and started the reforms under Josiah. And that kind of leads me to something else. You've got to know, if you're going to understand Jeremiah, Jeremiah was succored or raised by a godly family in the flesh and the people of God, the church, or the covenant people of God in the Old Testament. I mean, he was surrounded. I know about the godly family. His father was a high priest. His aunt was a prophetess who authenticated the law of Moses. His uncle was a priest, and it goes on. I mean, this is a family, a godly family, where God wasn't just something that you nodded in the direction of before each meal. I mean, God was a part of the family in which Jeremiah the prophet was born. Some of you, when you hear me say that, wince. And I understand. Bill Hendricks has a wonderful book called Exit Interviews, where he goes and stands at the back door of the church and asks people why they left. Now, most church growth people stand at the front door and say, why did you come? But Hendricks, in this great book, and it's mandatory reading in a lot of my classes, he does exit interviews. Why did you leave? And one of the things that he talks about is the burden that we place on Christians. He said it would have made our forefathers blush and groan if they had to do all the stuff we have to do. It's true, man. You get a new Christian, you put this saddle on him, man, and you ride him till he dies, and then you say, he was unfaithful. Now, that's not true. And then Bill Hendricks says something very profound. He said, just take family life, for instance. He said, the list of do's and don'ts in that one area are so great that it would kill anybody. Well, he didn't put it that way, but he put it sort of that way. And so when I said a godly family, some of you went, oh, no, because I'm not. Let me tell you something. When I talk about a godly family, I'm not talking about a phony family. Some of you guys are too religious. You're going to kill your kids with it. You know, it's almost like, we're doing bad stuff, but we're going to do good stuff. So sit down and shut up. We're going to pray. And you will be godly, and you will not do this, and you will. And then we violate what Paul said in Ephesians 5 or 6, I'm not a navigator, that we shouldn't provoke our children to anger. You know how we do that? We do that with God. It's God and the policeman, and both of them will get you if you get out of line, man. You don't want to make the policeman angry, and you don't want to make God angry. One will put you in the jail, and the other one will send you to hell. And then we wonder why kids grow up and they rebel against that. Sometimes you get too religious. So when I say the Jeremiah, you know, we one of the greatest problems we had, we were afraid of when our girls were growing up. And I have better children than you do. and better grandchildren, too. Well, at least some of the time. But when they grew up, the real problem we had is everybody was religious. I was a pastor. And so they knew missionaries, they knew other preachers, they knew elders of the church, they knew Christians. They didn't know any pagans. And we thought, man, they're going to leave our house and find out there's another world out there, and we got a real problem with this sort of thing. So we sent our kids to public schools, had them involved in Youth for Christ, and we were glad we did that. And our kids grew up to be secure young women who are walking with Christ. So when I say being godly, I don't mean go read another book on how to raise godly children. In fact, if you've got one of those, you've probably got too many. Well, you ought to have one. You ought to get James Dobson stuff. But I wouldn't read any more books on that because it'll drive you crazy. I mean, just love your kids. Allow God to be a real part of what your family is about. And that will make a difference, isn't it? And then you got to go further than that. You got to remember all these people were church people. Well, they were synagogue people. Because this is the Older Testament. The church is really important. Every once in a while somebody will say, Steve, I worship God on the golf course. Or I worship God when I'm fishing. I want to say, what are you, an idiot? You must be a horrible golfer. You probably don't catch any fish. Or you're not worshiping God. But that's not even the point. Guys, we need each other. And being a part of it. Let me read you a wonderful piece by William Bodie. Before I was born, my church gave to my parents ideals of life and love that made my home a place of strength and beauty. In helpless infancy, my church joined my parents in consecrating me to Christ and in baptizing me in His name. My church enriched my childhood with the romance of religion and the lessons of life that have been woven into the texture of my soul. In the stress and storm of adolescence, my church heard the surge of my soul, and the church guided my footsteps by lifting my eyes toward the stars. When first my heart knew the strange awakenings of love, my church taught me to chasten and understand my affections. When my heart was shamed with sorrow, my church drew me to the friend of all the weary and whispered to me the hope of another morning, eternal and tearless. When my steps have slipped and I've known the bitterness of sin, my church has believed in me and has called me back to live within the grace of Christ. My church calls me to her heart. She asks my service and my loyalty. She has a right to ask it. I will help her to do for others what she has done for me in this place. I will help her keep aflame and aloft the torch of a living faith in Christ. Jeremiah would have said that in a Jewish way, but he could have said the same thing, because it was his nuclear family that was godly, but it was also his extended family of the covenant people of God. Listen, if you're using Key Life for your church, may God have mercy on your soul. You're crazy. If you're watching a television program on Sunday morning, instead of being at a place where Christ is exalted and the scriptures are taught and people love each other, you're missing something that's so very important. I know. Church isn't perfect. Augustine said, she's a prostitute, but she's my mother. I know that ambivalence. I've been a pastor for a long time, but let me tell you something. The only institution on the face of the earth that will last for all of eternity is the body of Christ, the people of God, the covenant people, the church. And you ought to be a part of it just to show on whose side you're on. So Jeremiah was held and he was loved by a godly family, and he was held and he was loved by the extended family, which was the people of God. Make sure that you can't do this by yourself. You just can't do that by yourself. You know, I was in New York last week and, went to the Whitney Museum. That's a weird place, man. I just want you to know. Some of it's good, but a lot of it was just self-absorbed stuff they call art. But I had my son-in-law with me, and he knows what's good and what's bad, and he was able to point out for me what was good or bad. But he was over, you know, he can get lost. My son-in-law is a composer, and he's in digital arts, and they had a CD on sale at the Whitney Museum that his name was in because he had helped them get it together. But he gets absorbed in those things. So I was off to the side, sitting on a couch, watching everybody come and go in that place. And these are people, for the most part, who never think of God, for whom God is just kind of a passing fantasy, who have not been taught by their professors. Mike calls the Whitney the Disney World for graduate students. So I was there, and you know, as I thought about them, I thought, man, they needed a youth pastor who understood them and who cared, who reached out and said, you know, be involved in the art, be involved in the arts, but don't forget about him, because he's the center of your soul. He's what you're all about. They need the people of God to surround them and teach them. And then from that base, and they could have been involved in so much, with so much depth and so much reality. Well, I didn't mean to make you feel guilty, and I don't mean to do that, but don't forget your family. And don't forget the church. They're important. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our summer magazine, you're going to love it. Trust me on this. I wrote an article called The Law, God's Gateway to Freedom. People are always saying, you encourage people to sin. I do not. And this will address that, The Law, God's Gateway to Freedom. And there's a wonderful article by Brian Chappell, my friend. He's the president at Covenant Seminary. The Power of Joy. You're going to like it. Magazine includes a question and answer column. My itinerary's there. A lot of good resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. Give us a call. You can do it 24 hours a day, 1-800-KEY-LIFE. Or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org. Be sure and give us your regular mailing address. And the magazine is free, and I honestly mean that. Don't you dare not ask for it, because you can't send a contribution. But if nobody sent a contribution, I wouldn't be able to send it to you. So pray about it. And if God calls you to help us as generously as you can. You can charge it to your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope. For any contribution of any size, I'll send you the cassette teaching how to know that you know him. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Networks.